Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Now back to the Men's College World Series special, live from Omaha Baseball Village, powered by Access Bank, here for a reason, and Brookside Medical on 1620 The Zone.
Connor Happer, Josh Peterson back with you from the Omaha Baseball Village. I suppose this is the Connor Happer show. Just a different Josh today. And then Shane is back in studio pressing the buttons, and he's helping us welcome in our next guest, which is Chris Basnick from the Lincoln Journal-Star.
It's really a great deal.
Hello, Chris. Hello, Chris.
One of my favorite people, and Josh Peterson. What a great day.
Josh is trying to come up with questions for you because he usually doesn't come up with them until Friday.
Well, because Happer didn't tell me you were on the show today until we were on the air, yeah. Baz. So, you know, I guess I'll see if I have any Husker questions for you. I'll see if I can come up with something.
I mean, we don't have to talk. We can talk whatever.
Oh, do you want to talk about Mike Riley being the USFL Coach of the Year?
Ooh.
Hey, there you go. He's a good coach.
Yeah, how do you think your former coworker Steve Sippel feels about that? I bet he's triggered.
Oh, he's extremely triggered. He's probably on the motorbike somewhere between here and Columbus going 100 miles an hour right now.
Just so mad. He's not the coach of the year.
He's so mad. Like, he doesn't even have a helmet on. Like, he's just hoping something bad happens.
They got blown out.
I bet they didn't run the ball.
Minnesota game.
If they're up 55 times. No big running backs.
Hey, we were going through a stat. We were talking about this a little bit earlier in the show. But there was this stat that Iowa is one of the teams last year in FBS. Middle Tennessee is the other one, who had a turnover margin of plus 10 and also were outgained on the season. So then I went back, Baz, and I looked at, like, all of the times that's happened to Iowa. So the last three times that it's happened to Iowa where they've been outgained in a season, they have won... they have won 10 games, which they did last year. They won 8 games in 2017, and they won 8 games again in 2016, all while being outgained on, you know, as far as offense and defense is concerned, bulk yardage. When Nebraska does that, it is they went 4-8 in 2017. In fact, maybe the most ridiculous stat out of all of it was that they haven't been outgained in a season over the Scott Frost era, and they still have the record that they do. When you hear all these things, it can't surprise you, but what do you sort of, like, take away? What's your first thought?
It's just that's the most Iowa football stat of all time. Like, that's the first thing that pops into my head. But, I mean, like, it's the obvious, right? Like, it shows you how important turnovers are. Like, that's what it is. It's turnovers, and it's other mistakes, penalties, whatever it may be. And it just shows you how important that stuff is. Iowa's really, really good on special teams too. Let's not forget that. So, I mean, that's it. It's the things that have killed Nebraska under Scott Frost. Those are the things that Iowa does really, really well. And it doesn't really matter how inept you may or may not be on offense. If you're really good in those other areas, you're going to be able to win a bunch of games. And Iowa proves it over and over again.
Baz, we haven't had a chance to talk about it yet today. Happer and I haven't, but Scott Docterman reported earlier today or yesterday. It sounds like the Big Ten is going to move to a world at some point soon without divisions. And there was a quote in the story from Gene Smith where he said, "I think everyone submitted who their crossovers will be, and then we'll have another discussion around that." What do you think Nebraska wants, like, from their crossover schedule? Is it the obvious three of Wisconsin, Iowa, and Minnesota, or do you think there could be a wild card in there, given, like, I think of Northwestern, barring or outside of last year, a lot of those games have been really close, really good.
Yeah, the only other one I'd probably consider would be Northwestern. It just kind of makes sense from a regional standpoint if you're thinking of it that way. That's kind of how I generally tend to think of rivalry stuff, is more of a regionalized deal. So, yeah, it's more than likely would be the first three you mentioned, Iowa, Minnesota, Wisconsin. But wouldn't shock me if Northwestern made it in there because, A, like you said, it's a pretty good game generally year in, year out, but B, it's also a decently close regional rivalry as far as conference foes go.
Baz, do we know how Trev Alberts thinks about any of this? Like, when this has been a thing in the past, talk about scheduling and who you get in conference play, Bill Moose, obviously not shy about saying his thoughts on all that stuff. Trev Alberts hasn't really talked about any of the stuff at the Big Ten level at all, partly because he hasn't had to. And then I think that's sort of who he is as well. Like, do we know how he feels about this? Because it's, I mean, and then you get into the whole Scott Frost thing, too. That will be less important, I suppose. Like, Trev Alberts will speak for the athletic department this time around instead of it being sort of a combination of Scott Frost and Bill Moose. I find it interesting how little we know about how Trev feels about this.
Yeah, I think if you ask Trev, he'd tell you he's in favor of scrapping the divisions. And that seems to kind of be the general consensus, I think, among Big Ten ADs and presidents and things of that nature. Trev Alberts wants, and I'm going to be perfectly frank about it here, Trev Alberts wants what's going to make Nebraska the most money. And yeah. It's about, and he's said that before, it's about running a good business. He's likened the athletic department to a business and running a good business and making a profit and making money. And so Trev Alberts wants what's best for Nebraska from a financial standpoint. And Trev Alberts is a guy that seems to kind of think, you know, three or four steps ahead of where the program or the department is currently. So he may not care as much about the regional rivalries or who the rivalries are as much as he cares about, okay, what teams, if we play them every year, are going to help us maximize our profits, maximize our dollars. So that's maybe a cold way to look at it, but I think that's the reality. And in an era when athletic departments need the money to you know, pay players from an NIL perspective, from an academic performance perspective, things like that, you've got to look for ways to make every dollar count. You've got to look for ways to bring in money from any stream you can. So that's maybe a pretty cold way of looking at it, but I think at the end of the day, Trev Alberts wants what's going to be best for Nebraska from a business standpoint, no matter who the opponents are.
You know, Baz, I'm happy you said that, too, because I know, like, listening to Husker fans around here over the last couple of months as the divisionless model has been, you know, discussed more and more, like, doesn't seem like everybody is totally on board with that, given that it's going to make things a little harder for them as Nebraska hopefully improves. And so Trev being for going to that model, even if it hurts them on the field, it does make sense from the monetary perspective.
Yeah, it does. It makes sense from the monetary perspective. And does it hurt Nebraska's chances of making a Big Ten title game? Yeah, probably. But it hurts the chances of everybody in the West Division making a Big Ten
title
game.
It really does, yeah.
Just, you know, I mean, that's just the reality of it, unless the teams in the West start getting better. And that's not to say they're ever going to recruit on par with an Ohio State, but they can recruit on par with a Michigan or a Penn State, I think, and give themselves a chance there. But you've got to go out and do it, too. So, yeah, it's from that standpoint, it's going to be tougher to make a Big Ten title game. It's maybe going to be tougher to make a college football playoff unless it goes to, you know, 8 teams or 12 teams, whatever it ends up settling on somewhere down the road. So, yeah, it's, at the end of the day, again, it's what's going to be the best situation financially for Nebraska and for the Big Ten Conference, because if the Big Ten Conference is doing well, that means Nebraska's doing well financially. So, yeah, it's something that in the short term may hurt Nebraska's chances of making a Big Ten title game, but it's not like they've been close to making a Big Ten title game for a few years now. So it might be tougher that way, but in the long run, I think you're going to see Trev Alberts think long term here and what's best for Nebraska down the road.
Hey, Baz, tomorrow's the NBA draft, and the reviews have been all over the board on Bryce McGowan's in the pre-draft process. I guess, is there a range where you think he ends up in? Do you find it interesting that nobody can sort of come to a consensus on who he is as a player right now?
Yeah, he's kind of one of the more interesting cases, right? Like, it's the top 3-4 guys are pretty well set. And then after that, it feels pretty wide open, you know. And Bryce is one of those guys that I think can play a couple different positions in the NBA, which maybe adds to the lack of a solid spot for him. It's the fact that Bryce played on a team that wasn't very good, let's be honest. And maybe his stats were a little bit better than they would have been playing for, say, a Michigan State or a Purdue or somebody like that, that where maybe he wasn't getting the minutes and getting the shots that he got at Nebraska. So maybe that plays into it too. So, yeah, it's interesting. I guess the area I would be least surprised to see him pick would be like late first, early second round. I think that's kind of maybe where I think he'll end up settling, and we'll see what happens. Now watch him go be like a top 15 pick or something weird like that, because it's Nebraska basketball and weird stuff happens. But, yeah, it's a deal where, yeah, it's for a lot of reasons, he's just all over the board, and it's just really hard to kind of pin down where he might end up.
He obviously went out on a limb as a five-star recruit going to Nebraska, and like you just don't see it very often. You see the five-star recruits either go to that the G League team or, you know, a blue blood across the country, and this is one of the rare situations where he kind of went off the map a little bit. We know how it worked out for Nebraska in terms of wins and losses, but Nebraska loved having him here for a year, and they're gonna like the fact that he gets drafted into the NBA draft. How did it work out for him, considering the other options that he had?
Yeah, I think we'll probably know the answer after the draft. It's just so hard, like we just talked about, it's so hard to peg where he might end up. And I think a lot of that, or at least some of that, goes to the fact that he played at Nebraska. He played at a place that wasn't a name, wasn't a blue blood, didn't win a lot of games, played well at the end of the year, and he certainly showcased his talents, especially at the end of the year. But it's just different playing at a place like Nebraska. Now, the advantage he had playing here was playing for Fred Hoiberg, a guy who has every contact in the NBA you could ever want. He's got every GM in the NBA in his cell phone, I'm sure. So that plays into this too. So I don't think it's a question we'll know the answer to until after he's drafted and after he signs a contract, and we'll see where it ends up. You know, I think about Isaiah Roby going pro, and at the time, the contract he signed was the richest contract ever signed for a second-round player. So it didn't necessarily hurt him playing at Nebraska just because of the money he was able to get when he got to the NBA. So, yeah, it's if it drops him from a first-round pick to a second-round pick, then you say, well, maybe it hurt him more than it helped him. But if he kind of slots in where I think he might get slotted, maybe it works out just fine, and maybe it's a deal where if he had gone to, like we say, a Duke or a Michigan State or whatever, maybe he goes a little higher just because he played for a more brand name. But it's, again, it's a tough question. It's why I don't know the answer to it after he's drafted.
Bass, before I let you go, have you been surprised by the exodus of PGA golfers to the LIV Tour? You know, like a month ago, whenever we were discussing this, I thought it was a stupid thing and laughable, and, you know, all the controversy was like, okay, they're just going to get a bunch of, you know, no-names. And like every single golfer that leaves now, it seems like they're bigger than the one before them, the latest being Brooks Koepka. Are you surprised at all?
Not really, because I think everybody has a price. You know, and at the end of the day, you know, that tour has a bottomless pit of money they can throw at people. And so that's what it is. You know, Brooks Koepka was a guy that was very vocal speaking out against the LIV Tour up until the LIV Tour made him an offer he couldn't refuse, you know. And so I think that's what it comes down to. It's easy to say, well, I wouldn't take the money until you actually have to turn down the money. And so I think that's a lot of it. I won't necessarily say I'm surprised. But at the same time, you know, it's if we see more kind of household names kind of head that direction, it's going to turn into something very, very interesting for the tour and for golf fans in the United States.
DJ said it out loud. He said, the whole point of this basically is we want to play less golf. We want to play less golf.
We want to work less and make more money, which is what everybody wants, right?
Right.
Yep. So
it's
that
dream.
You know, you can blame them based on the morality of the whole thing, but it's like, yeah, they want to play less golf and they want to make more money. And
as long as they can still play in the majors, that's all they care about.
There is a thing that gives us the opportunity to do this. So there they go. All right, Baz.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, that's what it is.
Yeah. Appreciate you taking the time, man. Talk to you later.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate the time.
Bye, Baz.
Chris Basnett from the Lincoln Journal Star. We'll talk to you again on Friday.
Can't wait. You had a question in there about Trev and what
can't
he wants.
Wait.
I can give you the answer if you'd like.
I would love that. Why don't we do that next?
Perfect.
And it's powered by Brookside Medical, revolutionary treatment for ED. And now it's time, for a hydration break. 1620 The Zone. Live hydration sponsors Coors Light. Time for a hydration break presented by Coors Light, keeping Nebraska chill. We'll be back, and Josh will tell you the answer to the Trev question next on 1620 The Zone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.